The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Yeah, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. It's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not a no, at Degenerates 975, Miss First Hour. Pretty much all Texans, and we'll kind of move on.
We should have gotten to the people, though.
Well,
I understand a need to vent some frustration after that game.
All right, well, if you want to go to the people, you can.
All right.
That's your call.
All right, Aaron. What says you?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're doing sports.
You guys are dead on about Bill O'Brien. And I don't like repeating the criticism, but I'd have to say that nobody ever mentions that he took over the play calling. And you know, everyone can almost, when you're watching a game, you can promise he's going to do a little inside draw first down, like it's 2 yards, then he's going to do a pass for 4 yards. And it seems like we're always in third and six, third and seven. And I don't want to put it on him, but a lot of it is. And another thing before you guys, I hear your response. I think y'all are giving the old kid, Kevin Johnson, a hard time. And at least I'm glad he's putting his head in there. I know he's getting concussions, getting hit, but it took Kareem Jackson 5 years just to finally start playing. And this kid's been there 3 years. And
he's hardly been on the field.
He's been injury prone, but...
Yeah, you put your head in there and get hurt every time.
Yeah,
what good is that?
That's not doing him any good.
I know.
At least Kareem Jackson was a body on the field.
Yeah, and it didn't take Kareem 5 years. It was year three when he started to show significant improvement. So, yeah, I mean, I like the kid. He's a nice kid. He just can't.
He can't stay healthy.
Ever since that injury 2 years ago, he hasn't been close to the same player. And he hasn't been as explosive. He hasn't been able to keep up with receivers. He clearly doesn't know where he's supposed to be on the field. There's just nothing positive to say about him. I'm sorry. I'd love to, but I got nothing.
He's already missed 14 games in his NFL career, his three-year NFL career. Clearly, he's about to miss a handful more.
Oh, at least. They said he's going to be out for a significant time. A second concussion... on top of each other like this, I'd be surprised if he's not IR'd at some point and they punt on the season. Because I don't know that you want to try to bring a guy back off of two concussions like this.
Tough.
All right, let's get to the rest of the league. And we'll start with that Steelers-Browns game where, if you missed it, that thing went on forever. Because in the rain, really ugly game. Steelers blow a 21-7 lead. And the Browns tie.
Unbelievable. I mean, first of all, unbelievable that the Steelers defense held a game that close that should have been, you know, because when you give up that many turnovers, usually you're running away.
Yeah.
And the Browns couldn't take advantage of anything.
I don't know if you saw that stat. It's something like, since the Browns came back into the league, a team that's plus five is like 134, 4-1. And
two of the losses in the tie were
the Browns. Yeah.
Absurd.
That's just... Yeah, there's a reason it's a factory of sadness. But, you know, the Steelers, that game got really sloppy late, and I think the weather had a lot to do with it. But, boy, you just paid your kicker a bunch of money for him to miss a game-winning field goal for you.
Yeah.
The Steelers. Although it's kind of hard on that field. I'm not going to bang on him too much. I thought James Conner looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Filling in for Le'Veon Bell. So, really...
But there's concern about Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah,
that's a bad showing.
That last turnover too. It's just he had no clue the guy was coming from behind him, and that's usually not how he operates. So, All right, we go on to Bengals.
Well, and it's funny, we talk about Eli Manning and he slipped, and you know, where everybody's willing to talk about these old quarterbacks and be like, ah, he's not what he used to be. People even say, maybe they're expecting it from Drew Brees. I keep expecting it from Drew Brees at some point.
He's 100 years old,
but nobody talks about Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, it's probably time to talk about, because he's taken a beating over the years, and it's funny because sometimes you talk about coaches, and I think Bruce Arians, when he was there, really. I mean, Roethlisberger took a beating. Andrew Luck took a beating when that guy was coaching. Carson Palmer took a beating when that guy was coaching.
Yeah.
You start to wonder over time if that's not the cumulative effect of all that. I mean, he's a big, strong dude, but I don't care how big and strong you are. You keep getting beat up like that.
Yeah.
Bengals beat the Colts 34-23, and if you see that score, it's like, oh, they got rolled.
That's a blowout. No.
No, not at all. In fact, it was 27-23. The Colts are driving for the winning touchdown. And Luck completes a pass. It's fumbled and returned for a touchdown.
Yeah, tough way to lose. I mean, the Colts looked like they were driving down, and Andrew Luck was going to be the hero. And old reliable Jack Doyle lets him down at the wrong time. But I think the key takeaway from that game was Andrew Luck looked healthy. I mean, he was chucking the ball around.
He threw it 53 times.
Yeah, and ends up with 300-something yards passing and...
39-53 for 319, two TDs, one pick, sacked twice for 14 yards.
You'll take that line first game back, right?
Yeah. Ideally, you don't want him having to throw the ball 53 times.
No.
But it's not like they had any running game to speak of, as usual.
As usual, yeah. And the Bengals, man, I was expecting this last year. Joe Mixon is a really good running back. And he just, I mean, granted, the Colts defense is horrific.
Yeah.
But he looked good yesterday.
He looked good. Andy Dalton looked efficient. AJ Green looked solid, and they got it done. So I'm not really sure how good I think the Bengals are yet, because I don't know what I really think of the Colts. I do know that other than Andrew Luck, there's just not a lot there. And I think it's going to be another long season for them, but we'll see. Hopefully he can stay healthy, because it's more entertaining when he's there. The other game that went on forever, the Dolphins beat the Titans 27-20.
My goodness, you talk about
two long-ass rain delays there. And the real story, though, is that I think the cheap shot Dolphins knocking Mariota out, who wasn't playing great when he got knocked out.
No.
He had a couple picks already. But if you can get Blaine Gabbert in the game, you're going to win. And that's what happened. Gabbert was Blaine Gabbert. I also thought it was a cheap shot on Taylor Lewan, who is now in the concussion protocol.
Yeah.
They lose Delonte Walker.
For the season, more than likely.
He's out for the year. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's already announced.
Oh,
he's done.
He's
done for the year.
He had a broken ankle or something. I mean, it's bad. But yeah, I thought that where the Titans messed up was they went away from Derrick Henry. And I know he didn't start out, you know, house of fires, like 10 carries, 26 yards.
Yeah.
But you got to give him the ball a little bit more, I think, and let that guy, especially in a slop fest like that, that'd be the guy I'd be leaning on instead of, you know, throwing the ball 38 times, which is what they ended up doing. I mean, it's crazy to say, but Frank Gore looked pretty good for the Dolphins. I mean, you talk about guys, when are they going to fall off? And Frank Gore is not old school 49ers Frank Gore, but he's still
pretty effective.
6.8 yards per carry. You'll take that.
Well, that's that Vrabel defense, too. So
yeah,
you're probably going to get that. Vikings beat the 49ers 24-16. And of course, the whole narrative is, oh, well, Kirk Cousins, the guy that Shanahan wanted, outplayed Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo didn't have a great game, but I do think, for one game, Cousins looked really good. Garoppolo didn't.
Well, listen, there's a pretty big difference
between... It's at Minnesota. It's a noon game. I think the Vikings had every advantage there. There's
a pretty big difference between the defense that the Vikings run out there and the defense the Niners run out there. I think we're going to see... I think, you know, this is it's a bad game for Garoppolo. There's no way around it. But that's the best defense he'll see all season long.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to see better from him. I do think Kirk Cousins is for real. And he was clearly the better guy yesterday, but that Minnesota defense is something. And I thought it was even refreshing to see the Niners get something going in the third quarter when the first half they couldn't do anything. So I think Minnesota's going to win a lot of games. They're going to make a lot of quarterbacks look bad. And Jimmy Garoppolo just happened to be first in the shoot.
Buccaneers 48, Saints 40. We talked about this game a little bit, and I think already people are like, oh, well, when Jameis Winston comes back, is he going to have a job? Look, Fitzpatrick was terrific yesterday, and he did a good job of, hey, you know what? I'm going to let Mike Evans go get the ball.
Yeah, that should be your game plan every single game. And DeSean Jackson, too, had something left in the tank.
Yeah, until he got hurt. But I thought he played fantastic. The Saints defense looked terrible. When they did have good coverage, Evans just out-muscled guys. And you got the key turnover. They got a huge lead. The Saints tried to make it close late, but it was too late. And Drew Brees had about as good a game as you could ask for. 37 of 45, 439, 3 TDs. You put up 40 points and you lose.
Well, I'll say this. And granted, part of it was the scoring got out of control, but Alvin Kamara, 8 carries, 29 yards.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good enough.
Well, they were trotting Mike Gillisley out there a bunch. Like, what the hell?
13 rushing attempts in the game. And granted, it was a shootout.
Well, if you're only going to have 13 rushing attempts, shouldn't Kamara get all 13?
Right. But at some point, that game, I mean, there was plenty of time in the first half where they were going back and forth, and it was a one possession game, and they still weren't running the football.
And when they did, Gillisley fumbled. And it's like, why are you putting in a guy you just pulled off the? I mean,
Kamara is more of the pass catching back, and he caught 9 balls for over 100 yards. He had a good day in that regard, but you can tell they really miss Mark Ingram as far as a guy that they feel like they can run between the tackles with.
Yeah, at least yesterday, and then once the game got out of hand, the third quarter they had no choice but to just throw it. Jaguars going to beat the Giants 20-15. And before we say Eli's old, let's just point out that was a damn good defense that he was up against.
And honestly, I mean, Saquon Barkley looked fantastic against them. And, you know, the Giants had a chance to win that game. And it's about all you can add. The Giants were kind of my upset pick this week. I thought they actually might win that game. Didn't pull it off, but I don't know if it's promising that the Jaguars aren't as good as maybe people think they are coming into this season. And I think if Leonard Fournette's out for any amount of time,
yeah, we'll find out on that.
That's bad news for them.
TJ
Yeldon's fine, but he's like he's a fill-in guy.
He's a sexy Alfred Blue, what he is. Blake Bortles with another Blake Bortles type game. 18 of 33, 176, a TD, an interception. Nothing spectacular. Not enough to lose the game for him, which is really what they're asking. But that's still going to be a problem moving forward with the Jaguars. And I don't know what to make of the Jaguars. That's why I'm not writing the Texans off after one game. Because, what I saw of the Titans, not impressed. What I saw of the Colts, moderately, but not really that impressed. Jaguars still look like the best team, but man, if I had a dime for after week one, how everything looked a certain way, and by week three, it was completely different.
Right.
So I still think the Jags are going to be pretty good. You picked the Giants. That wasn't an easy game to go in and win, so I'll give them a little credit for that, and their defense is still really good. Should we take a break, John, and get to the rest of them? What do you think?
He says yes.
Yes.
All right. We shall take a break, and when we come back, we'll pick it up with the thriller of the day, Buffalo at Baltimore.
I can't wait to talk about that. I can't wait to tell you about Triangle Energy either. These guys are doing things the right way, because there's a lot of energy providers out there that they're not doing you right. They're not doing right by you, the customer. And they'll throw out an offer like free weekends or free days or cash bonuses. And you may have signed up thinking, man, that sounds great. But then down the road, you find out you're paying a higher rate, or they're throwing additional fees on your bill. That's not right. Triangle keeps it simple. The rate you see, that's the rate you'll pay. No gimmicks. There's no minimum usage fees. There's no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. It's just good, honest business from a good, honest, born-in-Texas company. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN. You'll get yourself an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE or TriEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN. PUCT license number 10064.
Can't believe how much I hate. Pressures of a new place roll my way.
Hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Look
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and we're going to get through the rest of the NFL from yesterday. Ravens beat the Bills 47-3. Not much to say here other than the Bills were a lot worse. I mean, I thought they'd be bad, but not hideous.
I tried to warn you.
For one game, though. I mean, obviously.
Nathan Peterman's not an NFL quarterback.
No.
On any level.
And I love that his coach said he had to go back and look at the film to decide how he played. Really?
Yeah.
I think we could all see it. I don't know what they were doing getting rid of A.J. McCarron. That team could have been competitive with a decent quarterback. Not in that game yesterday. The Ravens just played really well. But
Joe Flacco looked elite.
Joe Flacco looked very good for the first time in 4 years. And they just stomped him. And it got out of hand fast. This is one I really wish I'd bet. I thought the Chiefs would go in and beat the Chargers, and they did.
Yeah.
Tariq Hill was amazing.
My goodness, was he.
Somebody was asking me, it's like, if you could choose now, would you take Mahomes or Watson? I would take whichever one Andy Reid is coaching versus Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
Listen,
if you watch Patrick Mahomes, it wasn't like he was chucking the ball all over the field. It was a lot of dink and dunk stuff that went for big plays.
But that's what Andy Reid does, too.
Yeah.
And the difference here is that now you've got a guy that occasionally can take a shot way downfield.
Yeah.
And as long as he you know, I just think Reid's really good at coaching quarterbacks. And as much as I didn't like the guy, when the Chiefs, and I said at the time, it's like, it's not a guy I want, but when the Chiefs drafted him, I said, okay.
He's got a chance.
He's got a chance to be good. And he may not be. But for yesterday, he was good enough.
Good enough.
And I think Phillip Rivers put up some big numbers, but it was mostly trying to come from behind. He put up some points late, but they really weren't that competitive. Broncos beat the Seahawks 27-24. I can't tell you how many people said, oh, I had Broncos minus three, or I had Seahawks plus three.
I had Broncos minus three.
Yeah. Case Keenum looked pretty good. Russell Wilson did his best to try to keep him in the game, but...
Doug Baldwin got knocked out. Yeah. I mean, that's...
But the reason I was kind of high on the Broncos this year is they really got after Russell Wilson. I mean, six sacks. And that defense for the Broncos is going to be pretty good. And then Von Miller getting the fumble. I mean, they just made plays.
Yeah.
And that was the difference. But as much as I'm not going to say, oh, well, I'm writing off the Texans after 1 week, I'm not writing off the Seahawks either. That wasn't an easy place to go in and play. They had a chance to win the football game. And I think they're going to be better than people give them credit for.
And Doug Baldwin with a partial MCL tear.
Oh,
yeah.
Ow.
Shocker. That's a guy that he's like Kevin Johnson. You go into the season, we'll have him for a couple games, then he'll get hurt. Well, guess what?
He's didn't hurt. Have for a full game.
Didn't even have him for a game.
The Redskins go in and beat the Cardinals 24-6. Alex Smith, very efficient. Cardinals just aren't very good.
No, that was a really disappointing performance for them. And I thought they'd be competitive in that game. They didn't even show up to play. They got their doors blown off. And Adrian Peterson.
How about that?
My goodness. And not just in the running. He was catching. He had two catches for over 70 yards.
Yeah, there's a guy I think a few teams could have used.
Yep.
Cowboys, Panthers. Panthers win at 16-8. This was not a fun game to watch. It was pretty ugly, but not much out of Dak Prescott. You know, Cam Newton ran the ball a lot. He's going to get killed doing that. But Cowboys offense just looked completely out of sorts. Still managed to run for almost 100 yards, but not much to say about him.
No, really not.
And finally, the game from last night.
Which was crazy.
Yeah, which I think the Bears, I was saying all along, if they played this game 3 weeks from now, I'd probably take the Bears to win it. And they had every chance. Aaron Rodgers limped out there on one leg. And
what are the odds that Aaron Rodgers has a real injury, like that we'll hear about this week?
Pretty good, I think. I think
his post-game interview, he sounded like he was stoned.
Yeah.
Which means they pumped him full of something, I'm guessing, at halftime.
Yeah.
But he just didn't look I mean, obviously he was good enough to win the game, but he was gimpy, and I wouldn't be surprised if you find out there's a real injury there. The Packers aren't good enough to fade something like that. I mean, most teams can't lose their starting quarterback and still compete. But if they lose their starting quarterback, they're instantly a bad football team.
Yeah, and I'm worried. I'm just worried that he's going to be broken all the time now. I mean, he's always been a slight guy. And now you're getting a little older. You're getting injuries every year. And, yeah, I'm not going to be shocked. Because, like, last night he sounded like me stoned when he's... Well, I'm definitely playing against the Vikings next week, man. Yeah, I hope so, but I wouldn't be shocked if we find out that he's permanently broken. And, of course, the two games tonight, which we've talked about a little bit. I like the Lions quite a bit tonight. I really do. I think that's a very tough spot for a rookie quarterback to go in.
Yeah.
Monday Night Football, new coach in Detroit who's going to throw everything at him. And, I like Sam Darnold, and I think he's going to be a good player. It's a real bad spot for the Jets tonight.
It might be. We talked about who we would bet on. I think it was we were talking with RJ about which rookie quarterback will start the most games this year. It might be Josh Allen now.
Yeah, I assume he's getting the week two start.
Take away Nathan Peterman's helmet. Like, that's impossible to put him back out.
Maybe
there.
Lock him in the same room with Kevin Johnson so that we never see him again.
Just get him away. Like, just.
But again, though,
he's got to be in concussion protocol.
This is so much like O'Brien last year with Tom Savage. What convinced you that this guy could play? What did you see?
I don't know. I don't know what that coaching staff is thinking. I just know that they are. I hope they were really, really in love with that guy, because I think next year they're going to have an even better draft pick. So I hope this is the quarterback they really, truly wanted, and they're going to be able to build around him in that draft. But they are so bad. Just everywhere they're bad. On offense, on defense. They're just – it's a bad, bad football team.
Say hello to Buffalo, Ed Oliver.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
No.
Oh, yes.
Poor Ed Oliver.
I know. Well, that's what you get for being so good.
All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You know what, let's squeeze in a call here. Brian, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, from Ed Oliver to talking about the game this past week, and what were your thoughts about the U of H, you know, giving a shellacking to Arizona? Is Arizona just that bad, or is it a mix of the two? And then what are your thoughts on the three-point line of 3 points going to U of H as they go to Lubbock this weekend? That's all I'm asking. Yeah,
it's already pushed down to 2.5 in a lot of places. I'm not sure about next week. I think that's the number's kind of right. Like, I think it's going to be a 3-point game. I guess it's a matter of who you think is going to win. But Houston offensively, they look like they're going to be really good. I do think Arizona's significantly worse than I thought they could be. I just assumed that Kevin Sumlin would come in and he would find Khalil Tate and it would be magic. And it's pretty obvious that's not the case. Not only is Khalil Tate not magical, their defense is horrific. And they weren't even slowing down Houston yesterday. I'm not trying to take anything away from UH. That's a good win on their resume. And UH may end up... I mean, now that we've seen that, they may end up being better than I thought they were going to be. But I do think Arizona's not very good.
I don't have any opinions on the line. I will tomorrow. Just I don't do any research on next week's games until Tuesday morning, so I can't really tell you what I think of that yet.
But now that we've seen first of all, another pet peeve when you're watching an American Conference football game. And they run commercials for the conference, and they keep saying Power Six.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't just will something into being, like, real.
No, but they're doing the same thing that, they're trying to create a phrase, just like Power Five is a phrase, just like BCS was a phrase. I get what they're trying to do, but it's
Well, those
annoying.
Are the actual systems, though.
Well, yes and no. I mean,
they're using it as like a marketing campaign.
Well, yeah, but that's what the bad Power Five schools do. That's what Kansas does. Oh,
yeah,
we're a Power Five school.
They are, yeah. They brag about that.
Yeah, which, By the way, I wanted to ask Glenn Davis something tonight, and maybe you could pass this on. Why doesn't the MLS have relegation? I think that would be... See, I think relegation is the best thing about soccer. Like, for instance, if you're Kansas...
Kansas won this week. Lay off of
them. No, I'm not going to lay off them. They suck.
They dominated this week,
they should be relegated to Conference USA.
Come on,
somebody else gets that spot.
Kansas football got a big win.
Yeah, they got their one win.
And you're trying to poo on their parade.
No, I love the idea of relegation. You can't do it in the NFL because there's not, you know, minor league teams like that.
Right.
But you could do it in college football.
Well, you really can't, because the problem is these guys are all tied into TV contracts, and it's like having a union. Like Kansas,
I know, it's too
Kansas
late.
Knows they're allowed to be crappy at football.
It's too late to ever change it, but I just think that's a great idea. I would love to see that.
Which, by the way, and I mentioned, if you didn't see, Kansas won on the road 31-7. It really doesn't speak to anything about Kansas. Central Michigan is going to be awful.
Remember when it wasn't that year. Long ago, they were pretty
No, they
team.
Were pretty decent. Now, but, Eastern Michigan, solid. Central Michigan, horrific.
But getting back to the UH game, there were a lot of factors to what happened in that game. And it started with, and I know that the announcers were making too much out of the 9 a.m. start, but that is a pretty serious negative body clock thing. And as much as they may be from the desert, there's no way they were ready for that humidity. And they were really sluggish at first, and UH took advantage. And I'll tell you what, if UH's receivers could hold on to the football, they'd have had 50 points at halftime. I mean, he had Singleton dropped a wide open touchdown. They had a bunch of drops. Derek King was on his game, and I thought it was funny that they took King out too soon. I might have taken Oliver out when they did, but you know, to put your backup quarterback in, and they go three straight three and outs. The next thing you know, it's 38-18.
Right.
This isn't good, and so they put King back in there. But I thought they even 38-0 against a Power 5 school with a quarterback who should be a Heisman candidate.
Well, and a coach who's pretty well regarded.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they dominated them.
But the reality is, I think Arizona's not as bad as they looked. They're not good. They're awful young. And if Khalil Tate can't move around...
I think you might be right. Yeah, I think he might be hurt.
Well, and they were taping up his... He didn't look... Because there was one play... Where ordinarily he would have just taken off and run, and
he
just,
won't.
And so the plays he did run, he looked sluggish.
And I'll be honest, if Khalil Tate's hurt and he can't move, you may need to reconsider who your starting quarterback is. And I know that's crazy to say, because
he's not a great passer.
He's not.
And
I know, like, the word is that they're trying to make him an NFL prospect, so they want to show off his pocket prep. Like, no. They're like, he's worried that NFL teams will view him as a wide receiver. That guy is not going to be a good NFL quarterback. I don't care what you do with him. I think that ship has sailed. And if you want to win games at Arizona now, you need to use Khalil Tate the way Rich Rodriguez used Khalil Tate. And whether or not he's capable of that at this point, I don't know.
And that's what I'm concerned about.
If he's hurt, then at least it's an excuse for why. But yeah, he did not look like the guy that I saw under Rich Rodriguez, who could have, you know, legitimately been a Heisman threat this year, even on a team that I wouldn't have expected to be in contention for anything. Khalil Tate last year was that good. This year, I don't know what he's doing.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back, the legendary Lance Zierlein will join us. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Ready?
From the first down to the first bite, ESPN 97.5 and Saltgrass Steakhouse present the official ESPN Houston app.
Now this is top notch.
Download today. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Joined by Lance Zierlein. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
First weekend of, I know we've all gotten old because we're sitting here talking about investments on the break. Yeah, you, and I mean not gambling investments.
We're all looking for exit strategies.
Yeah.
Happens when you get old, man.
Well, would you say disappointing start to the season for the Texans?
I'd say that's a very fair word.
I think that like the bad coaching is expected. So that's not, I mean, it's frustrating, obviously, but it's not something that, there's zero chance they're going to come in and not be, you know, and be well coached. But I thought Deshaun Watson was disappointing. I thought that the offensive play calling specifically was disappointing. I think I thought Watson held onto the ball too long.
Way too long.
I just thought that the guy who we've been talking about all offseason as the savior of this team was anything but in week one. And granted, Bill Belichick's going to he's going to take that away from you and make you do it, you know, the way you don't want to do it. But that was a frustrating start for Deshaun.
Man, the first thing I thought of was I didn't think he played well at all. Completely out of rhythm, completely looked hesitant getting through his reads, wasn't making quick decisions after the snap. There were some open throws, especially early open throws, and instead of, boom, hitting it and getting in rhythm, he never got in a rhythm. I mean, he never, ever got in a rhythm. And I think, you know, it's hard for us to know because I don't know what the game plan was. I don't know what all the routes were. I mean, I'm going to take a look at it when the All-22 comes out tomorrow because I really am interested in seeing what it looks like underneath and what the routes were. But I think it was a case of Bill Belichick having a full offseason to prepare for one quarterback. And then my guess is he took some of the easy stuff away. Whatever tendencies he saw with the easy throws, he probably took that away and said, okay, you're playing chess now. You're not playing checkers. You're going to play chess. And this is one of the reasons I've been hesitant to just go all in on Deshaun Watson because I've seen this too many times with other quarterbacks where they get off to a quick start, but then once teams have tape on them, Jimmy Garoppolo got a little taste of it too. Once they get tape on you and they have time to school up on you, then it turns into a chess match. And then it's really a fight game, really. I think it's counterpunching. You know, you get countered. They go from you know, orthodox to southpaw, and now you're going to see something different, and it may take you a little while to get used to it, but you're going to have to find a way to counter and attack. I mean, I think a lot of this comes down to boxing and a fight game when you talk about football. There's a lot of metaphors. And right now, Bill Belichick and other defense coordinators are going to show Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien something different. And they're going to have to learn to counter and do something that counters the move that they just made. It really is going to be a chess match now where you got to counter to their counter. And Dak Prescott hasn't done it since his rookie season. Jimmy Garoppolo, we got to see if he can do it. We know RG3 struggled after what was a great rookie season. I think Deshaun will get it, but you can't just automatically assume he's a Hall of Famer because, I mean, there's coordinators who their whole life is taking things away from you that you like to do and making you uncomfortable. And that was clearly the case yesterday. That guy never looked comfortable, hung on to it forever, and then left the pocket without cause at times, which I didn't love.
Yeah, I was really frustrated. I didn't know if it was the way they were using him, but then as the game went on, I said, man, it's just him. It's him trying to let things develop downfield, knowing damn well that his offensive line isn't going to afford him that luxury. And then even on the RPOs, and it cost him on the very first play of the game.
The mesh point, yeah.
But he's just holding on to that ball longer than he should, or he's waiting too long to pull it back. I just thought it was really frustrating. And I assume he's going to get better as the season goes on. But not definitely not the start that they hoped for.
I think he looked like a guy that was trying to be a second level quarterback where he was like, I'm going to sit back here. I'm going to get through all these progressions. I'm going to take my time. And yesterday probably called for the opposite. And it doesn't make you a lesser quarterback to take quick reads and get into a rhythm. And
I always call that the Tannehill approach.
Yeah.
Like Ryan Tannehill almost has no interest in throwing anything further than 10 yards down the field.
Right.
And I'm not crazy about Ryan Tannehill. But because Ryan Tannehill is Ryan Tannehill, that's probably the best thing for him.
Yeah.
Is to do that.
Not Deshaun, but at the same time, he tried. I think he tried to show that next level approach, and it wasn't working.
Well, so how many weapons beside DeAndre Hopkins did he have for the next level?
That's the problem. Is you had nobody to stretch those safeties way down the field and open up that deep middle. And without Will Fuller, we can talk about Kevin Johnson all we want, because Kevin Johnson is just always hurt. And I wouldn't even be surprised after Bill O'Brien saying he'll be out for at least 4 weeks. This may be it for Kevin Johnson.
It wouldn't shock me.
You're going to have concussion stacked on concussion. This could be one of those injury settlement, boom, good night. We're moving on to the next guy. We'll see how it goes, and I hope he's okay. But, you know, it's not like the play was all that great anyway. But with Will Fuller, he's getting to be on my nerves, too, in that same way. I love what he brings to the table as an explosive threat. The ability to terrorize safeties and put fear into their hearts and the hearts of coordinators is so important. But if you can't stay on the field,
What's the point?
I mean, who cares? And Will Fuller's hurt before the season begins. I mean, this is getting old. With Will Fuller, lately, you've had these first-round picks now are the guys who've been hurt lately. Whitney Mercilus. And I'm not saying it's their fault. Whitney had an ACL. JJ, two straight years are hurt. Kevin Johnson, never healthy. Will Fuller, rarely healthy. This is a lot of your guys who are core players who have not been healthy for the last couple years.
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating. What was the first of all, I someone told me that you were high on Nathan Peterman.
Yeah.
What did you see in that guy? Because I couldn't believe.
So when I watched him on tape, he really, you can go back and look at, I can tell you like three different games, Clemson, Oklahoma State, and there was one other game. This is a couple years now. But he throws on time. He gets it out on time. He's very accurate with his ball placement and stuff like that. You know, the problem is the NFL game is much, much faster. I did, actually. I watched that game. I watched three games very closely, four games, Cincinnati, Indy, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Buffalo, Ravens, which was an atrocity. And I was just watching for Peterman. And then, obviously, the Texans. And he's been stuck in some really tough situations. I don't think he's going to be an NFL starter at all, because I just don't think the physical talent is there. But what he does, he has some traits that I really do like, but he never had a chance against the Ravens. They were all over him from jump street. The pass protection was awful. He was getting passes deflected. He just looked like he was rushing it a little bit. And accuracy, ball placement, that kind of stuff. Like, you know, Case Keenum didn't really – he was slow coming out of the gate, and he's developed over time into a quarterback. And I would have never guessed that he'd be a starter on even an average team, not to mention a good team last year with Minnesota. Maybe Peterman can take that route. But right now, he got stuck with a tough one against the Chargers, a tough one against the Ravens. But you got to show better than you did. And he'll probably not get another chance. He may get a chance this week. But Josh Allen is not going to be ready either. I mean, if Buffalo wins four, it's going to be a miracle.
I mean, it was just such a mistake, I think, to trade A.J. McCarron. And you didn't really get anything, you know, decent for him.
Unless you really liked Peterman's potential. And if you did, you can't bail on week one. After playing the Ravens defense, you got to give them more chances, and you got to stick with your guns to say we're not going to play Josh Allen. Because
if you do that, you're basically just saying we have no chance to compete this season, which a year after you were in the playoffs, that's tough for a fan base to stomach, even though I think it's realistic. I don't care which one of those two guys plays. I think they're a top five draft pick.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to go get a top five draft pick. I mean, Ed Oliver, Nick Bosa, Raekwon, Davis over at Alabama. I mean, Trey Adams, the tackle out of Washington. I mean, any number of guys out there who will be pretty good players, but we'll see. We'll see what happens there. For the Texans, I really think the Texans, I want to see. Deshaun looked like he looked against the Cincinnati Bengals last year, but there are people who made pretty good points on Twitter, and that is maybe NFL teams have to start reevaluating how they're utilizing their players in the preseason. We've had so much talk about, lack of practice. You know, we don't want to practice as much, and we don't want to do this, and concussions, and this, and not just eliminate the preseason altogether. You know what's really showing up is players who don't get ready in the preseason. They're rusty. They're not ready to go in season. And Deshaun Watson looked like a guy who was rusty.
But it looks like a guy who hasn't played with the guys he was on the field with.
That's, which is, you know, accurate. I don't think they're going to be that much worse off with Shontrell Henderson out. I don't think it's going to make that big a difference. How bad is it, though, that the team that started the season last year, the quarterback and four of the offensive linemen who started last year are not even in football?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? That's the
oh,
starter.
Oh, actually, Xavier Suofilo signed with the Cowboys today.
Yeah. Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
It's great news if you're not a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, if you hate the Cowboys. Hey, I want to ask you, I don't know if you had a chance to look too closely yet, but I thought Rankin looked pretty good after giving up the first sack and after the first few plays when he settled in. I'm just curious your thoughts, since I know you know offensive line is better than anybody.
I thought he was okay. I thought he was okay. The one area where I think he's going to have problems in the NFL is when you have guys who are real speed rushers who will race him to the outside, and we saw that yesterday. When he got beat, it was with the really wide rush. I think being able to set all the way out to get out to that speed is going to be a little bit of a challenge for him. Ultimately, I thought he was a guard or center in the NFL, so we'll see what happens. I don't know that this is going to be his full-time spot, but it is now, and it will probably be for the rest of the year. So we'll see. I think he'll
probably get hurt this week.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope not.
God, I just can't wait to see more Kendall Lamb on the field.
Well, you just wait. Mm. You're going to get a little taste of it at some point, but they may have to play some tight end over on his side and really give him some help in pass pro, just even to slow guys down. Because I do think speed rushers off the edge are going to be a concern for him.
Well, Titans, Texans, the only NFL game next week without an early line. Obviously because Mariota's his status is up in the air. But what are your thoughts on the matchup, given what you saw of both those teams this week?
So I watched some of the Titans, too. That was a really tough watch. For one, there was too long, for those people who don't know, there was too long delays because of lightning. Neither team really got in much of a groove. Both of them had kick returns for touchdowns, which accounted for some of the points. I don't think it helps the Titans, not only with the quarterback issue, but having a game that lasted whatever it was, 8 hours, and totally throws off your travel plans, puts you in much later. It's not something that's really going to help you necessarily. It's going to hurt you a little bit, but I think the Texans, based on what I saw from both of those teams, are more likely to bounce back, especially if Will Fuller can make it back. I think they're more likely to bounce back than the Titans. The Titans, man, that just did not look good in their secondary either. And that,
that's your Vrabel defense, man.
Yeah,
I mean, that guy you were also high on.
We'll find out.
I thought it was crazy that in a game where the field is basically just a mud bowl, they went away from Derrick Henry in the second half and just said, you know what, he wasn't successful in the first half, so we just quit.
You know, Dell said, who's a big Miami fan, said that a Dolphins fan, he said the field wasn't all that compromised, that mostly it was lightning and stuff. Which
it wasn't? Okay.
Yeah, I mean.
I just assume it was a downpour.
That's what I assume, and it was very dark on the screen. Yeah. But he said the field wasn't as compromised as you would think. So I was surprised, too, and my fantasy team was very surprised.
Oh, no.
Very surprised. There's nothing like having Kenyon Drake and going up against Derrick Henry, and I'm like, I hope both these guys go off. And then it was just like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah, and then the Titans lose Delanie Walker for the season.
By the way, is that for the season?
For the season, yeah.
Oh, that's a
broken ankle.
And then Luan is in concussion protocol after that cheap shot he took.
Who is?
Taylor Luan.
Yeah.
And that was the frustrating thing, that Miami, two dirty hits, basically. Oh. That changes the outlook for the Titans.
But if you had plus one at home, then
you do what you got to do.
That's what you had.
Do what you got to do.
So you know what I raised? I raised fantasy football kids now. This year, I had my first fantasy draft with my three kids. I was like, all right, let's all get in the league. They all played separately on NFL.com for the first year. So we all had a draft, and one of my sons invited two of his friends from school, and then we filled out the rest of the teams with like three different people on Twitter. I just said, whoever wants to play, hit me up on direct message, and it's a free league. So we all had our draft, and my kids really got into it, and I was really a happy dad. I'm like, this is great. We all had a fantasy draft. They're all excited about it, talking about their teams. One of my kids snuck out of bed in the middle of the night to try to set up his lineup, but he forgot his password, so he tried to reset password, but it goes to my email. So I busted him for being out at 12:26 a.m. But what really sucked is Tom Brady, like early in the game, the first series, he completes a pass for whatever it was, 17, 18 yards, and my son Mason goes, yeah, he's on my team. And I'm like, oh, I'm raising he's on my team fantasy kids.
Yeah.
This is terrible. He's cheering against his hometown team.
Right.
Because that's how quickly fantasy and gambling
yeah,
will turn you
loyalties
against your home team
well, yeah.
so quickly. And my son was super. I mean, he was like, I said, you're going to have to get out of this room. We're not watching this. This area here is going to be Texans plus dads plus points. But this area, right? I know this area. I shouldn't have even been close.
Yeah.
But this area right here, we're not having all this screaming and yelling for Tom Brady because he's on your fantasy team. And I had to hear this draft today. Yeah, that's every catch, every highlight from every game. He's on my team. He's on my from Listen, all three of them. Anybody who made a catch, Larry Fitzgerald, he's on my team.
I got to be honest, that's more sensible than like cheering for a team because of the jersey they wear. I really do think like when you've got some sort of investment, like whether it be, and eventually that fantasy football will be a financial investment.
You live
investment.
As an investment too. Ask Astro fans who have been down, and then they had ultimate excitement. Fred, you've lived here forever. You got to cheer for some uniforms still.
Not so much anymore. I mean,
but you're also a gambler. I mean, it skews everything.
It does, and it should.
It does skew everything. It really does.
No, because I tend not to gamble on the local teams, so it doesn't really matter. It's just I've spent most of my life having to be completely unbiased about stuff. So I've never, I mean, I want them to win, but I'm always trying to look at it. I'll always look at it from a...
When you're analytical, it does change.
Yeah,
it does change.
I'm just soulless when it comes to teams. I just don't care about anybody. Like
nobody?
Nobody. Like, there's nobody who, because I think the craziest thing is when your favorite team loses and that somehow ruins your day or your weekend. Like, I don't that's such a foreign concept to me.
Is it really?
It really is.
I understand why people are like that, but like,
what did you really lose?
Well, have you had a gut punch? You know what? But this is MMA guy thought process too, because Joe Rogan thinks the same thing. Like Joe Rogan can't even get into ball sports. He's like, I don't understand. There's nothing on the line in football, basketball, or baseball. He said, when you close the cage, it's you versus another guy. And he had this whole explanation to us one time in studio, and I could understand it. I mean, it doesn't land for me,
right?
But I understood what he was saying. It's almost like, what does it really all mean? And it didn't have meaning to him. And you're saying cheering for a city. Or a town, or a team from, in essence, you're cheering for a town or a city.
I guess.
It doesn't, well, I mean, the team represents that area. Maybe not in college, but it represents the college. But once you start going down the road of gambling, you're a Ronin. I mean, your allegiances change. I had a handicapping business when I was 24 years old.
Well,
your allegiances can change from half to half.
We've talked about this before. Like, Fred and I have, when I was a kid, I loved the Rockets. I loved Akeem. I loved that Rockets squad. I don't like the players on the Rockets now. So why should I cheer for the Rockets? Because they play in my city? Like, that doesn't make sense. I'm not going to cheer for guys I don't like because they wear the right color shirt.
I know Harden.
I don't like James Harden. And I didn't like Dwight Howard. Like, that, when those two guys...
He's been gone a while.
That was, like, the top two guys. It's like,
did you like the way P.J. Brown plays?
P.J.
Tucker?
I like P.J. Tucker.
I do. I like him. You like Chris?
But I don't... I like Chris. I mean, Chris frustrates me because... He's like Will Fuller. Like, you know he's never going to be on the field.
Capella?
He's okay. I don't like any of them enough to overcome my disdain for James Harden. No. I mean, it's just not enough.
I understand that. It's one of the rare instances where the best player in the city, you know, maybe in the city, definitely in basketball, one of the best players in all of basketball, the reigning MVP, is not as well liked by so many people now. There's a lot of fans. The overwhelming majority like James Harden.
Like, who do you think has a higher approval rating, Jose Altuve or James Harden?
Not even close. Who do you ever hear about say, boy, I saw Altuve?
Altuve's driving me crazy. Loafing.
There's too many people who have stories about James
or that don't even involve.
Well, now the effort against San Antonio, that's something where I could see. You have a hard time coming back from that even if you're a hardcore fan. I mean, to this day, I'll never forget that, where he didn't try.
Well, don't you remember the time Jose Altuve paid to get Jose Cruz Jr. beat up at
a
strip club?
No, see, I don't remember that.
No, he didn't do that? Oh, no, weird.
I don't remember that.
Weird. That's, stuff like that.
Remember that time Altuve continued to take and struck out three times in a game in an elimination game against the Kansas City Royals?
I do remember
that. Yeah, in 2015. Yeah. Oh, wait, that didn't happen either.
No.
He didn't intentionally just take until he had called strikes on every at-bat. That, in essence, was what James did against the Spurs.
Yes.
That's what he did.
That's what. So for me, I do like this Astros team. I find them easy to cheer for with just a couple of exceptions. like they seem like a bunch of good exceptions? Like I think Alex Bregman's a douchebag.
Oh, I forgot that. But the guy can play. Killer though.
Yeah, he can
it's
play.
A great player.
And honestly, if like you know, he's not enough to turn me like the my dislike for him isn't enough to turn me off from the rest of that team, who I think is a bunch of likable dudes. Yeah. So I do cheer for them. But if they turn around tomorrow and they've got six Alex Bregmans, I'm not interested. I don't care where you play your games at. I'm a mercenary. I either want to watch you play or I don't. And if I gamble on you, I'll cheer for you. If I gamble against you, I'll cheer against you. Right. But like you can ask Fred, before the Warriors were even good, I was like, I'm staying up every night. I'm staying up
they're
and watching
watch.
TNT because this Warriors team is so fun.
But the Astros have been the Warriors
they
the
have
last
been.
Few years.
They are, and they're fun to watch.
See, the teams I root for have nothing to do with my job. Like I love watching the Toronto Maple Leafs and like the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, teams like that.
He has loyalty to some teams.
Yeah, I do have loyalty to those teams, and it has nothing to do with my job because I don't ever talk about those on here except to say, hey, I bet on them or whatever. And
one of my strongest loyalties to my Premier League team, Everton. Yeah.
You know who?
Because it's blind. I don't have any.
You know, probably the team I have the most loyalty to is the Nashville Predators. I used to have season tickets when I lived in Nashville. And I think the reason why is I don't watch hockey until the playoffs, and I only watch playoff hockey if they're in it.
Yeah,
which they are every year.
And I don't bet on hockey ever. So it's
like a virgin territory for you.
It is.
It's not like, sully. It's the unsullied sport.
I'd like them to win. I'd like to see it happen. And
I still bet on hockey.
Yeah, he does. I don't. So, but I think if I did, like if I watched enough hockey where I felt comfortable betting on it. I would stop caring.
Yeah. It would ruin it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saskatchewan. Why are you Saskatchewan?
That's where the wife's from, and we go to the games. We try to go to a game every year when we're up there.
What's the weather?
During the summer, it's great. When we're going up for Christmas this year, it'll be minus 30. It'll suck.
Oh, yeah. That's miserable.
Are they playing games? How late do they play games?
They go into November. So
what's the weather like there?
The last couple of years when it's been outside, the Grey Cup has been a blizzard bowl.
Yeah,
which is fun to watch. I love watching football and that kind of stuff.
You do?
Not being there, but watching it on TV. I don't want to be there for that crap.
It's easy.
It's a lot better than 120 degrees like it was at UH Saturday.
That's true.
Oh, that was terrible. They showed 110. Boy, you didn't see it on TV, huh? Did you watch it at the stadium?
No, God, no.
On TV, it was an Ed Oliver Fest.
Fred's boycotting the games.
Yeah, I'm not going.
Because they hired
a guy who supported rape.
Yeah.
Oh, the Kendall Briles thing. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah, I'll still root for the team. I want the players to do well, but they're not getting any of my money.
No, that's understandable.
Got called a great game.
Well, yeah,
he's a great offensive mind. But
no question that he's made them significantly better and that he's damn good at what he does. But it doesn't sit right with me.
No, that's fine. I'm fine with that. I will say they did look really good in general, and Kevin Sumlin has got to be like. Let's see. I get destroyed by U of H. I watch A&M barely get beat by Clemson and show a lot of guts in the process. And my team gets slaughtered. And I've got one of the most dangerous quarterbacks in college football. And he's done nothing for 2 weeks in a row.
And how about your guy Kyler Murray who didn't do anything for you?
Kyler Murray with 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's after, what, 4 last week? Like Kyler Murray right now is trending towards Manhattan.
I want to tweet him to congratulate him, but he blocked me on Twitter years ago. So
who
I
did?
Kyler Murray.
Why did he block you?
When he was Aggie, he blocked me on Twitter.
Why would you do?
I said something about him being too small, and someone tagged him in it.
Did you guys see Pat Starr had did a cut up of Deshaun Watson and like, look, here where his feet were a problem at was one of the issues. And then of course Pat's pretty much a homer. And then he talked about, you know, but then he did this, which was really, really good. And Deshaun Watson's like, keep that same energy. And like Pat's like, well, I'm just showing something. He goes, no, don't change. Keep it up just like that. Like he got all salty about somebody daring to say that his footwork wasn't very good. I mean, whatever. Don't get like that, Deshaun. You didn't play well. It is what it is. Just move forward.
Yeah, we were doing really well on the clock until we showed up.
Yeah, that's what happens. We had a meeting about this, John. They weren't there.
We're wild animals.
No, we had our own meeting.
Did you?
Our meeting was like trying to tell the Warriors how to get better.
You know, Todd wants to tell us all these things that are wrong with us, and he just can't. He's like, oh, well, you guys are doing good, I guess.
Leave you alone? Yeah. That didn't stop people with me and John in the past. They've always like, we know you've got like a 4'8 now, but we're going to change the name from The Bench to John and Lance. We are going to add another host to your show. They made all this shit, and then they watched our ratings drop by almost 70%.
And we also want you to wear clown suits throughout the show. All right, I got to tell you guys about Gulfgate Dodge. It's Gulfgate time. The savings never stop out at Gulfgate. They're your savings headquarters Monday through Friday and every Sunday. And their clearance event's still rolling on Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram. You can get a 2018 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited Sport 4x4, just $185 a month, or a 2019 Ram Lease 1500 Bighorn Lone Star Crew Cab, just $299 a month. They've got the largest Ram inventory in the loop. They've got a new state-of-the-art service center that's now open, twice the size to service twice the vehicles by certified technicians. Gulfgate Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, 610 South Loop East and Gulf Freeway, and always online at gulfgatedodge.com. 2018 Jeep Wrangler, 36-month close-in lease, $8,030 down payment of $185.19. Total due at signing, $82,015.19. 2019 Ram 1500, 36-month close-in lease, $9,073 down payment of $409.69. Total due at signing, $94,82.69. Text, title, and registration. Additional see dealer for details.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.